Hello, and welcome to the Newbie Dentist Podcast, the safe place for newbie dentists to connect, collaborate, learn, and grow. The Newbie Dentist Podcast aims to provide high quality and high value content for all the newbie dentists out there. With your host, Dr. Omid Azami.
Hello and welcome back for another great episode of the Newbie Dentist Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Omid Azami. And today I'm here with a fantastic young dentist out of Texas, at Yogi Dentist on Instagram, Dr. Jenny Perna. How are you doing today?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show. I'm excited to talk to you and learn about your background and what you're doing on Instagram and everything. I'm pretty excited to see what gave you the idea and where you're going to take things. So, Jenny, if you don't mind, just go into your background and then we'll sort of jump off from there.
All right. Sounds good. So I actually grew up in Florida, on the east coast of Florida, right in a town called Merritt Island. It's right by NASA for most people.
Oh, nice.
No clue where that is. but I grew up dancing, singing, acting. I really did a lot in theater. And then when I turned 18, I was like, I got to get out of my small town. I moved to New York, actually. I went to NYU for academics. Nice. Yeah, it was a very cool experience for an 18-year-old. But I just wanted to see what the city had for me in terms of dancing. You know, I knew there was competition out there, and what could I do? So I was out there, and I actually, this is kind of funny today, you know, sitting as a dentist with student debt, is that my parents told me, you know, really figure out if this is what you want to do. You know, NYU is not a cheap school, you know, and if you're going to want to do grad school, you may want to consider undergrad debt. So I did consider it, and I realized that dancing just wasn't going to give me that stable life. So I came back to Florida, the second part of me is that I always liked science and thought maybe I'd be a doctor someday. So I started taking all the prereqs, majored in microbiology, actually, at the University of Florida. And I remember one day someone asked me, they're like, well, why do you want to be a doctor? And I was like, well,
stable income.
I was like, I didn't have a reason other than I wanted to help people. And I was like, well,
yeah,
you can do that in so many professions. So
yeah, for sure.
I took, you know, did my due diligence. I took a course that talked about medical professions. And so I had the opportunity to kind of shadow in different areas.
Yeah.
And then I started volunteering at the dental school at University of Florida. I started working for a dentist. And that's how I saw that, like, dentistry is just like a cohesion of like artistic things. And then also, you know, the science behind it. So, and here I am today.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. So how long were you at NYU for before you transferred back to Florida?
You know, when I make a decision, I make a decision. I was only there for 4 months and I was like,
oh, wow. Okay.
A little bit smarter. But after that, I came back to Florida and then I went to Nova Southeastern for dental school. I went to MAHEC, Mountain Area Health Education Center, for my GPR in Asheville, North Carolina. And then I was practicing in Florida for a couple of years and then just moved out to Texas.
That's pretty cool. And it's good insight for an 18-year-old to, like, after 4 months, be like, you know what, this is like have like that long-term like vision to be like, no, it's not going to be a stable income. Let me like go back to school. And like, so that's pretty sweet. And it's actually interesting. I was, looking through your Instagram page and like the website for your practice a little bit, just like before the podcast. So I saw you went to Nova, and actually, I don't know if I interviewed Dr. Sarah Sweetnam a while back. She's one of my earlier guests, and she went to Nova as well. So it's pretty cool connection there. I guess she graduated a few years after you, so I'm not sure if you guys would have like ran into each other or known each other or not.
We not directly, but like through people. I think once as you go through dental school and you get into your like fourth year, and all you really like are panicked about a little bit is passing boards. So
yeah, they're too busy to socialize.
Exactly. A lot of my friends are friends with her and have nothing but wonderful things to say about her.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. Like, that you want to, like, you were considering med, because I was the same way out. So I, like, for like since high school and even like undergrad and stuff, obviously, like, outside of wanting to be a soccer player, I was like, that was like my main dream initially. And then I was like, similar to you, I was like, no, I need something more stable. And I was like, I had a, like, we have a few doctors in our family. So I was like, growing up, I always like really respected doctors and like, I just loved like the status that they had kind of like within society, like people respected them and all that. Maybe not so much nowadays, but back in the day it was much more. And so I applied for medicine a couple of times and I got waitlisted, didn't get in. And then dentistry was like similar, like it was like a last minute sort of decision. I didn't really have like much of a background, but I got into it and I'm pretty happy. Like you said, I remember in our first year of dental school, they put this like slide up and it was like, dentistry is like arts, engineering,
like science. That like acronym.
Yeah. And it's so cool because it is like you get to be like work with your hands every day. You get to do some cool stuff. So doing your GPR, was that, because I know I've interviewed some people from NYU and they say like in state of New York, because I'm in Canada, so I don't know a whole lot about the US situation. So I know in New York to get your licensure, you got to do like a GPR. Was that the same in Florida or is this like an option, like you just chose to do a GPR?
No, it's not the same in Florida. I think when I was graduating, well, really when I went into dental school and everything going through it, you know, you always go between that, should I specialize or should I stay general? You know, what should I do? With the idea of specializing and certain things. And then what I started to realize is that I just really loved everything. But I wanted to make sure that I felt comfortable practicing. And I do feel like I was comfortable. I've always been pretty independent as a practitioner. But, you know, you experience something and then you look back and then you're like, you really understand like the value of it. That was kind of like GPR, where I went and I did it and I was like, I feel like I should do this. You know, it'll make me better. And then looking back, the amount it taught me and the practitioner that it made me just, it was amazing, you know?
Okay. And what was the, cause I know a lot of GPRs are like really like surgical heavy. So was yours like that or was it more like the AGD or AGD type, like when you're like doing general practice in a hospital setting or like, what was your GPR like?
So my GPR was a little bit more like an AGD in terms, it was clinical setting. Like off-site from the hospital clinic that we ran, and we accepted like Medicaid and all the insurances and whatnot. But we also had affiliation with Mission Hospital, which was, if I believe, a Trauma One Center.
Nice.
There really wasn't much else in rural North Carolina, you know. So whenever dental traumas would come in, we would get calls even from like hours away. In the middle of the night and like, hey, by the way, this patient's coming. And then we would get them at the hospital. So we had kind of a mix of both, but day to day, more of like that clinical.
Yeah. So, I mean, I ask a few of the guests that I've had on who've done GPRs, cause I know it's like a question, like I myself, like when I, cause I studied in Australia actually. So I went over to Melbourne, Australia to do my dental school. So there's no such thing as like a GPR over there. But I knew like I wanted to come back to Canada and practice. So I actually did end up applying to a couple of GPR programs here and in the end, like chose not to do it. But, looking back now, like pros and cons of doing it, cause obviously from, you know, the financial side of things, a lot of people are like, well, like I'm going to miss out on a lot of income. Like you don't get paid that well as doing your GPR. Like you have all the student loans. But then on the flip side, like you get all this clinical experience, right? You get to do a lot of like surgical stuff. It seems like in your case, you got to do a lot of like general dentistry with like a bit of supervision. Mm-hmm. Maybe get more confidence doing some, like, did you do any like, implants or anything like that in your GPR?
We did. We placed some, not as many as I would have liked to continue it on into practice. It's actually something that's on my vision board for this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw you making that on Instagram stories. It's a good idea.
I love surgery. That's really so many things in dentistry that you can kind of really, you do as a service for others. And then some of the stuff kind of gives you that, those good feels for yourself. Surgery for me. So I'm going to keep training and doing, and making sure that I'm trained and giving my patients the proper care.
Yeah. So, looking back now you've gone through it and you've got a couple of years of private practice experience under your belt, like talking to like a fourth year dental student, like what would you say? Like, would you be pro GPR or like, don't do it, do it? Or like, is it like case by case
Well, everything in dentistry is case by case, right?
easy way out.
Yeah, right. What I found from my experience, a lot of my friends' experience is that halfway through, you're like ready, like to get out and go practice. Yeah. And you start to get like you know, the itch, like I just got to go out and do. And it, you know, I hate to give the cop out answer, but it really is case by case. If you are in a program, you utilize everything out of your dental school, you're doing advanced procedures, you're really pushing the envelope in dental school, you probably can go out and practice. If you don't feel like you've gotten to learn some of these bigger procedures that you might be interested in, and a particular program offers it for you, you know, I would seek that out. It just really kind of depends on you, where you want to take your career. And yeah, you can take CEs as well out, but I personally value what I learned in my GPR tremendously.
That's good. So when you finished up your GPR and like in your first year of practice, like were you doing everything like pretty comfortably, or is there certain areas that you're still like, I'm not too sure, I don't want to tackle this yet?
Well, I was really lucky in my first associateship. I was working with five other docs.
Oh, nice. That's a good
really, setup. Really nice, because there was a prosthodontist that was there who's one of the, Dr. Katie Ryan, one of the smartest people I've ever met. So she was there and able to kind of, you know, ask her, intimidating, like, but you could ask her things. There was another Dr. Z, who he had been in practice for a while, and you can kind of bounce ideas off of. And then there was people a little bit closer to my age, maybe like a year or two older than me, or practicing.
Yeah, that's nice to have as well, though, because you're not as intimidated, right?
Right. It was nice. It felt almost like a really good transition from my GPR, where you have that network of residents, you know, when you don't want to sound stupid and go to your attending, and then, you know, you transition to a private practice, and it's nice to kind of get that reassurance when you have a question or anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And so what was the, because another thing I've been trying to talk about and get more information from, like, you know, various people, is like finding a good associateship position. Because obviously we have some similar stuff between, you know, Canada and the US with like the corporate dental side of things. And a lot of, you know, new grads like just going that route because it's like not easier, but like safer. And like you have sometimes like you get like a guaranteed like base income and all that. So what was that search like for you? Like after GPR, like, did you take a while to like pick a place? Were you a little bit picky, or you kind of just like, cause like me, like I was the total opposite, and it was a mistake in hindsight. Cause I got back and I'm like, man, I need to like start working like ASAP. So I just like took like the first two jobs that I found. And then like 2 months in, I'm like, man, these are like terrible jobs. So I had to like, I changed both of them. So, so what was that like for you? Like, what was that experience like?
So I mean, your experience is not uncommon. I think, yeah, some people fall into that like perfect associateship right out of school or GPR. I was not one of them. I did explain like some of the really good stuff, but my first associateship, I actually had this thing where I just didn't really want to work corporate. I didn't really know what I would be going into working corporate. I really wanted to find a good associateship where I would be seeing a lot of patients. So, you know, that income wouldn't be such a strain. You know, I'd still be able to produce and see a mass load of patients. But also be able to be in that private practice setting and like harvest relationships with those patients. My first associateship really didn't work out. I just don't think we aligned in our beliefs. Doctors there were fantastic, but it just wasn't for me long term. And then I actually, let me go back to your first question, why I even moved to Jacksonville. So, sorry. So the reason that I moved from my GPR is my boyfriend at the time was at Nova graduating, and he started his orthodontics residency in Jacksonville.
Nice. Straight out of school?
Yes. So he was right out of Nova.
Good grades.
Yeah. He's a smarty. But he got into Jacksonville, and we had just done a year of long distance, and I was like, okay, I'm not doing anymore.
I've done that plenty. It sucks. Yeah.
It had its benefits looking back again, but glad it's in our past. But so I moved to Jacksonville, and so I knew I needed to find a job there. That's where I found that first associateship. After a year, about a year there, I actually through one of our reps, found out that there was another dentist hiring is actually a periodontist. And so I thought that was really interesting to work for a periodontist.
It's a pretty cool setup.
Yeah, yeah. Do like multidisciplinary. I was able to do some more surgeries with him, like more impacted thirds, and feel comfortable enough that, you know, if I needed backup, he was there for me, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I didn't really, but
that's good.
Good reassurance.
Yeah, it's good to have that, yeah, for sure.
Exactly. And then I worked for him for about a year, and absolutely, it was a wonderful associateship. Monetarily, I was compensated well, good patient pool. It was really that step from being an associate where I was able to have leadership in this new associateship and kind of harvest my abilities as maybe being a practice owner someday. Because it wasn't like overbearing as a boss. You kind of got to, you know, work and what systems would work in place for you. And then my boyfriend graduated his residency. And so it was time for us to both like figure out what we were doing, you know, together without a school telling us where to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
real world.
Exactly. Yeah. We finally entered the real world. So he was looking for orthodontic opportunities, and I was looking for general dentist opportunities. You know, we were looking in Jacksonville too, thinking about staying there. And then a couple opportunities that we liked opened up in Austin, and we said, you know what, we're young, let's go try to pay off our debt, you know, like let's do it. Let's go see a new city and really figure out where we're going. With our careers.
And I think, I mean, as an outsider looking into the States, like, I think Texas is like it's doing pretty well, like economically, right? The state compared to like a lot of other areas. So I think you picked a pretty good area to be in.
It is. We have some friends who actually moved out here after dental school to Dallas and had like things to say about it. And Dallas was in the cards. We like to call it the campaign trail. I swear everyone. Yeah. but we love Austin. Austin's like right up my alley. So yeah, I was happy to be here.
That's cool. So you mentioned when you're back in Jacksonville, that second practice with the periodontist, it allowed you some opportunities to like explore some of like the practice management side and leadership side of things. I'm curious, like that's something like I've grappled with too, like working, I work in like four different offices, like doing 1 or 2 days each. Just cause I haven't found a place where I can be working like 4 days a week and be busy for 4 days a week as much as I want to be. And also as like market research, like I'm like four different offices, four different setups, four different staff. So I'm learning a lot of like different ways how things are done, like good and bad. So in one of the offices is like a newer office. So it's been open for about just over a year now. So it's like a second office for these two dentists that bought it together as a partnership kind of thing. So I was sort of there like by myself, like not running the show like officially, but like I was kind of like, you know, I was running everything from start to finish with like patients and building on my own patient base. So I was always like curious, like as an associate, like what can you do or what are like the boundaries of like, can you like have your own marketing thing going on the side? Cause I even like, I've searched it up and I've spoken to other people. I'm like, what if I just start like my own Instagram page, like for that practice and like just posted stuff? Like, is that cool with the owners or like, so like, what were you doing? What kind of stuff were you like doing over there?
In my experience, and I think you touched on something really good, is that you're going to these four offices and you're seeing what doesn't work and what does work. And that's something that even looking back at like my first associateship that didn't work out, I look back and I learned immensely of things that worked and didn't work, things that made me successful and things that maybe were their hindrance. And so I kind of took that knowledge into my second associateship. With that associateship, my boss is one of the coolest guys I had met. He never even felt like my boss. And he kind of gave me that autonomy of, you know, I had asked him, for example, I wanted to do my own like bonus system with my staff. He had his own bonus system, but I wanted my staff to know I appreciate you. Like everything, working through lunch, you know, the hustle, the bustle, like I appreciate you. So I would do a grab bag every week where it's pretty simple. You may have heard of it. You put gift cards in a bag and whatever standard you want to do, we would have a production number. And if we were able to produce that, they would all get grab bags. So it just, you know, I asked him about that and it was funny. He kind of made a face and he was like, yeah, of course you can do that. You know, he was just very
That's awesome. That's a great idea.
So I'm very grateful for that. I don't know that every single boss is going to be like that. You know,
yeah.
It's going to have their brand and how they want themselves to be represented. But I don't see an issue either with promoting yourself as a healthcare provider. So
yeah, for sure.
You know, and
that's awesome.
Promoting that to your patients as well.
That's a great idea. Because I mean, that's so cool that you had that idea to do that. And because I oftentimes I'm like, if I want to do something like that, because I feel bad because the staff, obviously, like you as an associate, like if an emergency walks in, like you have a different incentive of like, yeah, let's see this patient and let's do it versus like, well, we're busy, like just bring him back later, right? So I'm always like, I should do something for the staff, but I don't know if like I'm crossing my boundary. So it's cool that you did that. Like, I'm pretty impressed by that.
It's a great idea. I don't, you know, I just look at it and it's the point that you bring up is that when we have a patient that comes in, like we're going to do everything that we can, but sometimes it gets lost with the staff. But sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes they hustle and they don't even complain. And I think it's something that, I don't know. I haven't seen many other associates do it. Not that there aren't people doing it, but I think that we have to show people how much we appreciate them. If they're going to do in our assistants, like think about if your like top assistant goes down or is sick, like you feel like,
it's a big,
arm, you know? So they need to know daily that we care about them and we appreciate the hard work that they do.
That's awesome. So now that you're in Texas, are you still an associate or is this a practice that you've purchased or
currently an associate? What's going on now? I'm going to keep a couple of it a little bit secret for now.
Okay.
There is in the near future, practice ownership.
Oh, nice. Congrats. So is that that's on the vision board then?
It is on the vision board. Yes.
Okay. Good stuff. So, obviously, this whole thing that I'm doing with the Newbie Dentist podcast, like the main way I meet people and I talk to people is obviously through Instagram. So, it's something that I spend a lot of time like in my obviously, day-to-day life, like on there and talking to people and like interacting and stuff. So, that's why I find it interesting when I find like a few cool profiles and like people that are just doing something differently or interesting. So, obviously yours like stood out to me because obviously there's obviously like a few people that are like really active, right? Like the SF Dental Nerd and like PNW OMS and those guys are always just like posting, right? So it was cool that, and I saw like you did like the yoga dental challenge with like the headstand on the dental chair and everything. So, and it took off, right? Like, and I was like, it's cool. Like, it's cool too. And I love that community that we have because we're always like interacting and like sharing ideas and everyone's like very positive. I feel like so far, like I haven't got any like negative feedback from anyone yet. So it's cool to have that like positive reinforcement. So with your page, I mean, obviously you're doing pretty well. I think you have like about like 5,000 or so followers. When did you start that? And what was your idea behind it? Like when you started up?
Yeah, definitely. I do have to give credit though to Dr. Balawas, SF Dental Nerd. He actually kind of started the dental yoga challenge. He posted on his page. So I have to give him a
call. He's good. And I think he does a good job. Obviously he knows what's up. Like he's always like on there. So, he appreciates people who are like genuinely doing something out of passion and he likes to support them too. So, shout out to him. And
what you said too is about the connecting. That's one of the coolest things that I've noticed from this. Mm-hmm. It's connecting the dental community just a little bit closer, which is cool. But the way I started, I actually started it a couple years ago as like a yoga page where I basically just posted pictures of me doing yoga with some like lame quote, like that was
inspirational quotes. Yeah,
cheesy I found online. But the reason I started that was that I kind of wanted to just see my growth through yoga. And sometimes, you know, it's always good to look back at like where you came from, and sometimes it's easier to do that with pictures. So that's how it started, and then I wasn't really using it or active. Eventually I ran out of pictures to post. I think while you're practicing, you're getting like, we run into frustrations daily, right? Everyone does in every profession, but
for sure.
One of the challenges for me in practice was the disconnect that some patients, not all, but some patients have between their dental health and their overall health. And so that kind of irked at me. And two things in my life that are maybe different but similar is yoga and dentistry, is that they both in their own way promote health and well-being. So I just combined the two and yoga dentist was born. But I think right around the time too that I kind of had this idea of doing this on Instagram was I was listening to Howard Ferrand's 30-day dental MBA.
Oh, I love that. So, yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh, addicting. I also listen to it at like 1.5 speed. So it's very like,
it talks fast as it is. So
it was pretty great. But, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but what he was saying is that in Latin, the doctor means to teach. And so,
like docere or something.
Right. Docere. Yeah. Thank you. I was like, I'm sure I'm going to screw this.
Yeah.
With listening to that, and I think often too, we get caught up in that we're running multiple chairs and we're doing procedures and you can kind of feel overwhelmed of like, I have to, you know, do all this stuff, but we have to remember that we're there to teach. So Instagram was just kind of the vessel for me to promote this like overall healthy well-being of patients with dental care and care of your body, mind, whatever, but then also to use it to teach and to explain to patients things.
That's pretty cool. So, cause obviously like with some some dental pages, and I always like look at them now. Cause I don't know if like, are you a fan of Gary V, like Gary Vaynerchuk? So like, obviously like his books, like he's a social media guy. So, diving into that and like always, I'm looking at pages now. I'm like, what's the motive? Like why did they make this page kind of thing? So, with yours is a bit like tricky. Cause I look at it, I'm like, is this for like promoting yourself as a dentist to like get patients? Is this for other dentists to like be healthy and like do yoga and like drink juices? Or like, I can't tell. So like, I'm curious, like
maybe
what's your target audience? Are you like the confusion?
You know, I kind of started it first with like patients, like thinking of like my patients and educating my patients and putting I also thought, you know, one of the reasons I went into dentistry was between that patient-doctor relationship and like, what would I want from my doctor? Well, I would want to know them. I would want to know like trust in them. And you know, trust doesn't come from just saying hi, you know, shaking a hand and looking in someone's mouth. It's getting to know one another and you know, ask questions and experience each other's lives in some fashion. So I wanted Instagram too to like just show my personality of like, this is who's taking care of you, you know? But then as my page started to grow, I started to also see the community that you talked about that's out there. Yeah. And I remember in dental school, one of my friends who had been practicing before and was in residency was saying, you know, the dental world is really small. Like you want to make sure like you're always putting your best foot forward. Everyone somehow knows someone. And I thought, the dental world is small. Oh no, it's very small. And then Instagram like shrinks it even more.
Yeah, it's worldwide now. Yeah.
And so you're able to connect with people. You're able to bounce ideas off of people. Some of the things I post with clinical things, like I just love the influx of ideas and different perspectives that come in. Because then it opens maybe my eyes to something that I didn't see before.
Yeah. That's really cool.
That. And then, all of the above.
Okay.
My platform is just to kind of be myself and express who I am as a dentist and appeal to that.
And then, so my entrepreneurial side would wonder is, have you thought about like creating some sort of like yoga program for dentists, like specific for dentists to help with like, I went to, just for a bit of backstory, like, obviously like I try and stay pretty healthy. Like I go to the gym and stuff, but like over the Christmas break and stuff, like it was like 3 or 4 weeks I hadn't gone. And like, I was working a lot during that time. Cause I work in a couple of emergency offices. So I was covering emergencies and like, it was just packed. And then like, man, like my back started hurting. Like my hips are like tight. I'm like miserable. So I went to one of my buddies is a physiotherapist. So I went to go see him. I'm like, man, just like check all my joints. I want to have like optimal range of motion. Like I want to be preventatively like, just like good at everything. Like physically wise. So he's like, yeah, do you do yoga? I'm like, no, man, I shouldn't. So I was like, and then I told him I'm talking to you. So I was thinking about like, have you thought about it? Because it'd be a good idea if something that you're passionate about, like doing yoga, maybe create some sort of like specific yoga program for dentists.
It is something that I've thought about. And I do have to give another shout out to Dr. Prero, brought it to my attention as well. I think it would be a really good idea. It's something that I've kind of been thinking about, especially this last Friday. I actually kind of blew out my lower back and I was out. Probably the worst I have ever done. I've had, you know, back troubles before as a dentist and a dancer and whatnot. But I think with having, like you said, that limited, like you kind of feel like you're stiff and you can't move. And it just kind of opens my eyes again of like, there are people that aren't as flexible that are experiencing these pains every day in our dental profession.
For sure.
I don't know about if you saw this in your school, but like a lot of our professors had fused spines and they had a lot of issues, hands, ligaments, you know? And so always been something like in the back of my mind.
A lot of like so many like older dentists I talked to, there's something, right? They're like, oh, I can't do extractions anymore. Like tendonitis or like carpal tunnel or like back pains, hip pains, everything. So even like I started like, we had some dental students, like some classmates of mine, they started wearing like earplugs because of the sound of the handpieces are not good for your ears apparently. Right. Like it's such a, obviously like mentally it's a challenging job doing dentistry, but like physically, like it beats you up. Like it's pretty rough.
Right? Who knew dentistry was so physically challenging?
You just want to sit back and relax, but it's hard.
Exactly. But no, it's definitely something I've thought of. I've started to kind of put some ideas together of different like stretching exercises to share and to help people because it helps me tremendously.
Yeah, for sure. It would. Yeah. That's pretty cool. And so you've been, how many years have you been, so after GPR, you've been practicing for how many years now as a, like in private practice?
So this will be my third year. So I've been, hold on. GPR. Yes, third year. I was like, wait, you get out of school and it just like flops.
Yeah. So I'm just coming up. So I think I'm like, because the school year in Australia is different. So I graduated like December of 2016. Okay. I started working February of 2017. So I'm approaching like 1 year now. And it's interesting because I always knew in the back of my mind, like that first year is going to be really important. And I think that's why I put like a lot of like pressure on that first year to like find the perfect job. Because I thought, like what you learn in that first year is going to be like such a foundation for like the type of dentist you'll be or and things like that. So I'm curious, like in your mindset, like after your GPR, after your first year, like in private practice, what were you like focused on? Like, was there like, did you know there's areas that like you just didn't like anymore and like didn't want to do if you didn't have to, or was there areas that you're like, man, I just love it, but I don't know enough and I want to like really focus on that, for example? Because that's what I'm trying to like grapple with right now, and I'm trying to see like how, because I didn't have that vision in dental school, and I've said it before, like I was like, I just want to get out of school, like work hard, make money, and that's it. Like I didn't think about like, oh no, I want to do like high-end stuff, or yeah, I'm okay just like milling out like patch up dentistry kind of thing. So like tell me about that journey for you a little bit.
So what I spoke about in before, surgery has just really always been the thing that I wanted to do more of. If I'm being perfectly honest, and this is probably every employer's worst thing to hear, is that molar endo drives me crazy. It just is one of those things. And more so maxillary molar endo with that elusive MB2. But
I just say I couldn't find it. I'm over trying to find it now. I'm like,
it's just one of those things that can be really frustrating. Endo goes right. It's beautiful and it's wonderful. And you feel like you can do that every day, all day. And then it's more challenging and can become more of a frustration, at least for me.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm very case selective with that. I make sure that I'm not going to get my, you know, get into trouble in any sort of way. I really am case specific with my endos because I want to make sure that I'm not getting frustrated and therefore my patients are getting better care. Even if it is sending them to a specialist, you know? And then, so surgery has been something that I've been wanting to do more of. And that's why going and working with the periodontist was a little bit better for me.
Great experience.
Yeah. It was really awesome to work with him. And then also, to do more cosmetic cases as well. And I think that's what really opened my eyes too, is that your ceramist is a huge deal when you're doing these cases. not every lab is created the same. You these beautiful, beautiful crowds or veneers, even no matter what your preps look like, kind of thing, you know? So I was able to work on more aesthetic cases, which I enjoy, but if my heart and soul is more in surgery.
Yeah, surgery's fun.
For sure. But I've also too, like with the yogi dentist thing, and I'm still brainstorming a lot of this and still early in my profession, but I want to do something more with dentistry beyond chairside and beyond owning practices. I think that's my next immediate step, is going into practice ownership and honing in on those skills and learning the business of things a little bit more. And obviously treating patients and having nice, like a family unit there. But there's just something, I feel like there's more for me out there with dentistry.
That's awesome. Love
impact that. With dentistry. And I just, I mean, you know what, you probably know what it's like too, is that there's a lot of fallacies about dentistry that the general public believes, and it becomes a frustration for us as practitioners when we hear the same thing repeated, and it's false knowledge that's kind of just been spread through the masses. And all we really want to do is do right by our patients, you know? And so if I can help be that voice that breaks down that barrier and really helps like people take control of their oral health and their overall health, like that will be the completion of my life.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's great to hear. I love that. And that's the best thing. And I hope with this podcast that I'm, cause that the, one of the main reasons I started this was to find like-minded people. Right. And I wanted to, find people and hopefully like this, and I stay in touch like every, so I will be annoying you like down the line too, cause I stay in touch with all my guests. Cause I like to feel that, you know, we create a bit of a friendship doing the podcast, and I like to see your success. And that's the best thing. Like, you know, I know you're a fan of, Dr. Ferren, and, he always says like thinking growth, hope, growth and abundance. Right. So I'm not one to be like hide my secrets and be like, oh, I'm not going to tell, like share my answers or whatever. So I hope my surrounding like group of people and the community I build, like, just like has massive success. And I think that's the way I become successful, is if everyone around me is becoming successful and doing what they love to do. So it's super inspiring to hear you say that. So I really hope you do follow through with it. And do that. Cause I'm the same way. Like I find, like, I love dentistry, and like, I'm not trying to create a side business or a side like hustle to like stop doing dentistry, but I just like, you come home and like, you want to do something more, right? You want to, have some impact, have some legacy or something. That's the stuff that kind of motivates me a little bit. So it's cool. I'm happy you said that. And I hope you do follow through with it.
Yeah. Thank you. I plan to, but you bring up a really good point about like success. And I think, and I've said this before on the Instagram, so I'm sorry if anyone's listening and hearing this again. But it's that I think too often people think that like there's only so much success, that if I'm going to succeed, someone else has to fail. And that's just not the case. We can help each other grow. We can collaborate. The only thing that's going to be the effect of it is that we're all going to get better. You know, there's enough success to go around, and success leaves clues. So if someone else is successful and willing to share their story, we might as well listen, you know? So I appreciate that.
That's awesome. And that's my thing. So my whole goal, like, kind of, and it took me a while to like actually like, because I love podcasts. I was a huge podcast, like dental podcast nerd, like in dental school, like just consuming like as much as I could. So I was like, I just want to be involved and like do it. But now that I've done it, and I'm like trying to think of like, what do I want to do? Like, what's my next step with the newbie dentist? And I think my passion comes in like education. I really like to teaching and like passing on wisdom to like, you know, people who are like following in our footsteps, or like dental students, like how to avoid traps, how to avoid bad jobs, how to find the right jobs and all that. And so like my ultimate goal, and like this is maybe a few years away, is I want to create like an online continuing education like platform, like a hub kind of, like, because I know like new guys, like, and I was going to ask, like, that was my next question actually for continuing education, is I found like myself, like I graduated and I'm like working and I'm like, so what do I do? Like, do I need to do endo courses? I got to do implants. I got to do like perio. I got like, and I'm like, I don't even know like where to start, like who to sign up with, and everything's so expensive. So I want to create like a centralized thing where people can just log on and everything's there. There's a library. And I'm hoping like all these people I'm meeting right now on Instagram, you know, there's a lot of like specialists or special like students who are like specializing right now. So they'll be experts in their field in a few years, and they'll be the guys who are going to be faculty on this thing. And so it's cool. I just like, it's nice to have like a vision, right? I love the vision board that you have. I think that's a great idea.
It's a work in progress still, but
yeah.
Almost done. My my boyfriend, Dr. Napoli, was like, "When are you gluing these on?" I was like, "It's almost done."
By glue is on the vision board.
By glue, yes, exactly. Too funny. Yeah, it's
that's great. So, your boyfriend's orthodontist, you said, right?
Yeah.
So how long has he been working out?
So
now?
He has been practicing for 6 months now. He graduated from JU in May, I believe, June. I have my dates right. He graduated and he's been working out here in Texas, you know, shaking hands, making those teeth straight. Doing his ortho.
So what's it like? What's it like for like young specialists coming in now? Because I know I've, you know, you hear like in podcasts and stuff, like the model is changing, like the whole brick and mortar, like having your own like ortho practice or perio practice or endo, whatever it may be, may not necessarily be like the way in the future. And like the specialists are kind of going to rotate through general practices and provide the services there. So what's he finding like so far?
So in our campaign trail, we did kind of see the platform or the whatever avenues were available for specialists and GPs as well. But your point is pretty accurate. It seems that there's less and less, well, there's not that there's less and less people setting up shop, but maybe initially right out of school, there's more people. I think that's in general, except associate ships. We knew that he and I both want to open. And so these few years are just for us to continue practicing, get to be better dentists, understand the systems and whatnot, and then be able to
save up a bit.
Save up. And then see what comes into fruition. So he accepted a job with a corporation where he does go office to office, one umbrella corporation, but he has to go to multiple offices. That's definitely something I'm seeing more of while we were doing it. Also a lot of collaborations between specialists. So orthopedos, even my, you know, my periodontist boss bought general dentistry practices. So specialties kind of going into combination with one another. But, you know, with the rise of corporations, you have a point. Less, you know, some people aren't opening up their own practices, but I think that's still our goal.
That's awesome. And do you have a, like, I know you said it's a little bit secret, so I'll try and feel free to say, not answer it, but like, are you hoping to like work together like in one practice or?
That's the eventual goal. I think that he and I bring a good dynamic together. We're just little Italians trying to rule the world. I'm just kidding, until we get it. But we have same practice philosophy. Keep it smart. You know, I'll own my portion and he'll own his and whatnot. But still some logistics.
Two stories.
but some logistics to go through. But our end goal is to really create something together.
That's pretty cool. And so do you do like Invisalign and stuff, or is he against that? Or like, what's that like?
Well, he's not against it. You know, the thing with dentistry is that if you're going to provide care, you need to know it. Unfortunately, I don't know that the Invisalign course in itself gives all the information that you need to know.
It's like 3 hours. Like, I don't understand like how,
So I do all of my cases with him. I tell all of my people
that's great.
That although they may never see his face, that he is doing the treatment with us. And he's checking all the ClinChecks. And it's helped me navigate through some problems too with, you know, if you ever move offices, sometimes you inherit some cases that people have been doing. And so without his input, I probably would have been a little lost and relying on the plastic, but you can't rely on the plastic. You have to be the doctor behind the plastic.
You gotta know what's happening. Right.
So he does help me, which is tremendously.
That's a great resource to have.
Wonderful. I feel very lucky.
No, for sure. Use it. It's
exactly.
Awesome. Thank you. So it's been awesome to have you on. It was a great chat. I think we touched on a lot of cool points. So I think the listeners will get some good value out of it. So I'm excited to see what's to come for you and all the stuff that you have planned. I wish you all the best, and we'll stay in touch, I'm sure.
All right, cool. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no problem.
Really glad that you're doing this, especially for new grads. I think, you know, we all graduate and then we're just like, what now?
You know? Exactly.
We've kind of gone through everything. We go to school, we go to more school, we go to more school, and then you're like, oh.
Time to adult, yeah. Huh? there's a lot to learn for sure.
Yeah, so I love that you're doing this podcast. Keep it up.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.